CFWHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. There may be a deal to gain the release of five Americans being held in Iran, but it won't happen this week. That's the gist of a National Security Council statement after earlier reports calling it pretty much a done deal. Correspondent Margaret Brennan on what's likely to happen.
The Biden administration's deal to bring home five American prisoners from Iran this month is moving ahead. Secretary of State Antony Blinken took a key technical step last week by signing a waiver that will allow billions of dollars worth of Iranian assets to move through European banks, ultimately ending up in the form of $6 billion held in a bank account in Qatar. That will be made available to Tehran for humanitarian purposes.
With the death toll approaching 3,000, rescue workers are racing the clock to find survivors 3 days after the earthquake in the Moroccan mountains. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Marrakesh.
Moroccans clinging to the hope of finding survivors. But with every body removed from the rubble, hope is slipping through the blistered fingers they've been digging with. Across Morocco, now a race as they search for the living and grieve for the dead.
Mark Dickey says he was so sick he thought he was going to die. Instead, the American cave explorer is alive and now hospitalized after a dramatic three-day rescue from 3,000 feet under Turkey's Taurus Mountains.
I gotta tell you, I don't know what to say. This is overwhelming. This is a first.
Make it a last.
Make it a last time, too. Thank you.
Americans have marked 22 years since the 9/11 attacks with ceremonies around the country. Odyssey New York reporter Glenn Shuck was at the World Trade Center Memorial.
Hundreds of family members and friends who lost loved ones on 9/11 now holding each other up yet again at another anniversary ceremony, which they admit is almost impossible to get through, but somehow they do it. Hiram DeJesus here to honor his sister, Nareda, who was killed at the age of 30 in the Twin Towers.
She made it down to the ground floor, but it all happened early. Her building didn't get attacked yet, so she went back up. They found her remains like 3 months later.
He says the years go by, the pain doesn't subside. Glenn Shuck for CBS News, New York.
The chips were down for MGM Resorts after what's believed to be a hacking attack disabled much of the online presence for the huge casino company. Cybersecurity expert Adam Levin.
Any major organization in any major industry is a target. I mean, breaches have become the third certainty in life behind death and taxes.
And the FDA has approved updated COVID vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna aimed at revving up protection this fall. The agency is trying to shift to yearly updates comparable to annual flu shots. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and five current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Bug Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But,
riding pants?
Okay. Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice. Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there. See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
A week, everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this. Willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Average radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are absolutely right, Digga. This portion of the show is supported by Fair Financial. You work hard for every cent you make. You have bills and you have goals. Choose a bank that's going to support you along the way. That's Fair Financial Banking. No overdraft fees, no minimum balance, no credit score required. Call 651-262-2173 to talk to a Fair Financial enroller to open your account today. Keep more of your money. That's Fair. www.fairfinancial.org. Fair is a program of Prepper and Prosper, a nonprofit organization, and it's not a bank. Banking services are provided by Sunrise Banks, NA, member FDIC.
Hey, nice Freed. Hey, also on a somber note today, it's a 9/11 2001, and I'll never forget where I was. I was teaching high school, and I was walking to the bathroom, and heading back to the bathroom, I noticed a couple classrooms were watching their TV. And I rushed to my room and we turned the TV on and saw the second plane go into the World Trade Center and changed everybody's life to that day. Just want to mention that my niece's husband lost two parents in that. And so that it's always heavy on our heart when we talk about 9/11. It's a somber time. I want to also, before we get Dr. Stately on, is talk a little bit about, we have some tickets, Haley, we want to give out in maybe in the next segment, so everyone get ready. I'm going to give the number here really quick, and then don't call now, but call in the second segment when Haley gives you the thumbs up over the radio. It'll be hard to see, but over the radio. But Haley, what do we got to give away?
Yeah, so we got our Ray Bonneville and Corey Medina and brothers are going to be at the Cedar Cultural Center this Friday. Their show begins at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7 p.m. This is for all ages. We'll be handing out. We've got pairs of tickets. We've got four pairs of tickets that we'll be handing out this week. So make sure you're tuning in. This is presented by KFI and the Cedar. So it's a bunch of, we got some blues music. So if you're into blues.
I love Corey Medina, and he was at the fair last year and played 2 days. And then I went up to that big concert in Duluth where all those people were playing, and he was up there jamming, and he had a Resist shirt on, too, that I gave him. But That's a whole nother story. Hey, we have Dr. Stately here on Native Roots Radio, and we are always blessed and pleased to have Dr. Stately on. Welcome to Native Roots Radio. It seems like I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. How have you been?
Been pretty good. The fair wore us out, but I only worked a couple days, but just the hot weather and going there trying to enjoy it. I did end up watching, seeing Brandi Carlile. We were in the 10th row there.
Man, that would have been a nice thing to go to.
Wendy's a ticket snob, so we had to get the 10th row. So I go along with that because you only live once, right?
Right, yeah. I saw Lauryn Hill on Friday. I was in the nosebleed section, way in the back section, where standing room only. Yeah, and
I love Lauryn Hill. There's great acoustics in that little stadium. It holds 17,000.
Yeah, well, this is in the amphitheater, and which held, I think, feels like way more than that. But it was great. It was just great to see her. Like, you know, it was cool. Like celebrating the 25th anniversary of her Miseducation of Lauryn Hill CD. Wow.
I can't
believe
it.
So I was excited. I listened to it every day, a couple times a day, every day for about a week before I went to go see her. So that's kind of cool. Okay.
That thing.
Yeah.
That video is like a classic video too. I think Spike Lee did that video, and it was split screen in the 50s and the current time, and it was done really well. It holds its age very well, I think. But then again, I'm old.
I think the lyrics about it are still pretty relevant. And you know, it's just kind of a relief, and it was amazing to listen to her live. It was a nice evening. It was nice to be outside, you know, a little crisp for a first week in September, actually. So I was like, oh wow, are we already in full-on fall?
Yeah,
is winter right around the corner?
I don't know. I was in New York, you know, for a few days, and it was a million degrees there. I was in the city sweating, walking, and you know how we like to walk. We'd still put 18,000 steps on, but it was like a million degrees. And we did the tourist thing. We went on the tower there. What the heck? Not the World Trade Tower. The old Empire State Building.
Yeah.
We hadn't done that in like.
I saw your pictures on your Facebook. It was pretty remarkable. I said, oh, look at them. They're just doing the whole touristy thing. That's awesome.
It was fun. And then Sunday we went to the museum, and that's always, it's always crazy because there's such striking art, and they go into the 30s, 40s, 50s. They go up like that. And then you'll see like Andy Warhol's, silk screens, and you're just kind of going, this guy cheated. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Remember that whole deal? And it's just like he had people working for him and doing silk screens, and he called it art. So I don't know. It's all in the eye of the beholder. But I'll tell you, it really inspired Wendy, and that's all it counts.
Yeah. He was a remarkable artist for his time. I mean, you know, I think he was probably more. Yeah, he had interesting looking art. I don't know if you've ever seen his Cowboys and Indians series or not, but you know, I remember he had like the old John Wayne one, and then he had that iconic picture of Sitting Bull and John Wayne and a few other folks. But then I think it might have been Custer as well. But he also had a remarkable iconic image of you know, that mother and papoose. And I actually bought my ex-partner and I from 28 years ago, bought a copy of a print when we were in New York in Soho way back in the day. And it was a remarkable piece to own. But then we got divorced, and you know, he was a wealthy white man, so he kept it.
Wow. Again, stealing our land and now your painting. What next?
Well, yeah, and you know, he's like, you know, he said that wasn't actually a birthday gift when we got separated.
Wow, that isn't how you remember.
Yeah, one day I'll write about him prolifically in my memoir, and I'll name all the dirty deeds.
Right on. That's good. Maybe it'll be a big book story.
No, oh, no, not quite like that. But you know, let's see. This was actually after I was sober. I was sober like 6-7 years, I think, then. But
oh heck, you could elaborate. Bill W. did. Dr. Staley, can you hold on for another segment? We got an update from our lieutenant governor. I'd like to have you comment on, and we'll do our thing. It's great to see you. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Ho-wa!
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Back to school season is here. And while this is an exciting time for parents, kids, and educators, let's not forget how far we've come in our battle against COVID-19. We're in a better place, but COVID-19 is still here, and we need to continue to help protect our communities. With the flurry of new schedules and classrooms, let's not overlook the fundamentals of staying safe. Wash your hands regularly and watch for any symptoms like fever, chills, a cough, or shortness of breath. Should you or someone you know have COVID-19 symptoms, stay home and get tested. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Let's have this back-to-school season be a time of renewed commitment to our collective health and brighter future for our Native communities. Again, find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Join Mary T. on Wednesday, September 13th from 3 to 6 p.m. for an open house for the brand new Outpatient Therapy and Wellness Center. The Outpatient Therapy and Wellness Center offers physical, occupational, speech, and lymphedema therapies. Enjoy massage, yoga, meditation, and Tibetan medicine. They will partner with you on your healing journey and get you back to a quality of life that is meaningful to you. Mary T. Incorporated empowers people to live their best life by facilitating independence and overall wellness. The Mary T. Outpatient Therapy and Wellness Center offers a unique integrative health and wellness experience to their clients. All major health insurance providers accepted. Visits are by appointment only. Call 763-489-3638 to schedule your first visit. The Mary T. Outpatient Therapy and Wellness Center is located at 11800 Zion Boulevard Northwest in Coon Rapids. Find details at marytinc.com/outpatient-therapy. That's marytinc.com/outpatient-therapy. Go for therapy, experience wellness.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we got a couple things we got to do with Dr. Stately before we get back to you. And one of them is we have ticket. We're handing out concert tickets, Dr. Stately. We're like totally legit, like your favorite station does.
Oh, wow. Like KSTP or what is it? KISS 95.
Yeah. But Corey Medina is worth the ticket price himself. And it's at the Cedar Culture Club, right, Haley?
The Cedar Culture Center. Yeah. Minneapolis.
Yeah. So what are we going to do? Or Haley, are we going to take the third caller at 952-946-6205. I'll give that number out again real quick as 952-946-6205. And Dr. Stately is calling up. Oh man. So while we're waiting for this caller to call in, why don't we take a quick listen to our favorite Lieutenant Governor of the whole wide world, Peggy Flanagan.
Bonjour, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan here. Happy fall. It's been a busy and fun start to September. I kicked off the month at the State Fair and had a blast all 7 days that I attended. Some fair highlights included the incredible crop art, one of me, if you can imagine, dill pickle paletas from Hamlin Dining Hall, and shopping at the one and only Native Roots Trading Market. At the end of August, history was made when Governor Walz appointed Chief Justice Natalie Hudson to the Minnesota Supreme Court. Since 1849, Minnesota Supreme Court has had 21 chief justices. 19 have been men, 2 have been women, but not one of them has been a person of color. Chief Justice Hudson is making history as the first Black woman appointed to lead our state's judiciary. She is a highly qualified leader who has dedicated her career to serving the people of Minnesota. Her historic appointment is another important first in our state's history that will continue the work of opening doors and moving Minnesota towards justice and representation for all Minnesotans. To celebrate the new school year, Governor Walz and I traveled to schools across the state, from Bloomington to Columbia Heights to White Bear Lake to Rochester, to welcome students back and see our new free school meals program in action for the first time in Minnesota history. While at the White Bear Lake High School, I had the chance to see my friend, American Indian Education Program Coordinator Vincent Patton. Vincent is ensuring that the program's mission of providing meaningful, intentional, effective academic and non-academic services to and opportunities for every American Indian student is prioritized while also fostering a cultural identity, pride, and intercultural education for all students. These school visits and being with leaders like Vincent and the students he serves remind me just how much progress we've made to make sure that all of our Native students feel supported and have the opportunity to grow and thrive in Minnesota and beyond. But, you know, it takes all of us to make an impact. That's why we passed a law this year in our education budget requiring Minnesota teachers renewing their license to undergo training about Native American history and culture. When I was a kid, Native American history and culture were not actively taught in school, but Native history is Minnesota history. And this training is one step forward to ensuring the full history of Minnesota is truly understood and here to stay. The governor and I also strongly believe that all levels of education should be accessible and affordable, no matter your family's economic status. That's why this past session, we passed an education bill that included money for Minnesota families making a household income less than $80,000 to attend Minnesota State universities and colleges for free. The scholarship will cover up to 60 credits towards a certificate or an associate degree, or up to 120 credits towards a bachelor's degree, and is paid directly to the institution where the student is enrolled. And Minnesotans will automatically qualify if they fill out the free application for federal student aid, or the FAFSA form. We estimate that these scholarships will benefit about 15,000 Minnesotans and make a major impact on these families and our state's economy. This is also an opportunity for us to continue ensuring that some of our best and brightest who leave the state for financial reasons can choose Minnesota schools. September also marks our 5th annual Governor and Tribal Leaders Summit on the 20th. We are committed to ensuring that these partnerships we have embedded in government-to-government relationships will remain and become the fabric of state government in a historic and impactful way. The governor and I look forward to hearing from our 11 tribal leaders later this month. And with that being said, don't hesitate to reach out to your local leaders or to our office to let us know what you want to see from these partnerships. Every voice matters. So Migwich, Pidamia Ye, Pina Gigi, and back to you.
Wow, thank you very much. That's awesome, Haley. And that was cool that you mentioned stopping by Native Roots Trading Post, too. She's always a welcome sight to see in the beginning of the fair, and just We love the Lieutenant Governor. I wonder if we should, do we have time to play Governor Evers too? Why don't we do that while Dr. Stately had to run out for just a second? Why can we do that? Can we play?
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. I always say what's best for our kids is best for our state, and what's best for our families and workforce too. Earlier this year, I proposed a comprehensive budget plan to address our state's longstanding workforce challenges, support working families, and maintain our economic momentum. Unfortunately, the Republicans in the legislature rejected many of those efforts. That's why on September 20th, I'm calling a special session of the legislature to complete their work on the budget. That includes creating a first-of-its-kind Wisconsin paid family and medical leave program. This program will provide all public and most private employees with 12 weeks of paid family and medical leave. Paid family and medical leave helps ensure working parents can put their kids and families first without having to leave the workforce due to a major life event, and helps us compete with employers in other states who do have paid leave. We're also going to expand eligibility so workers have the flexibility to respond to their families' unique needs. Folks, this isn't a partisan issue. 73% of Wisconsin voters, including 62% of Republicans, support requiring businesses to provide paid leave for new parents. We should be able to work together in policies that have broad bipartisan support, especially if it helps support working families. I'm urging lawmakers to come in, do the right thing, and get this done for Wisconsin on September 20th. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Well, thank you so much, Governor Evers, for that update. Wow, two high-powered updates there, Haley. And we'll probably have to let people know who won those tickets next segment, but... totally excited about going there in Corey Medina, and what a great Native American artist he is. He just rocks it. Dr. Stately, it was great to hear from the senator, and then we played the governor of Wisconsin too, his report, which was pretty awesome. But it's just that time of year where things are shaking out. I guess here in the 20th, the governor's meeting with all 11 tribes here in Minnesota, and getting that going. And it just seems like they just did that. So things are flying again in a good way here in Minnesota.
Yeah. I think he does it annually. He meets meets with them annually to discuss issues related to the 11 tribal nations. Yeah. But I was happy to hear the Lieutenant Governor's report and hear about the work being done around the implementation of the Indian Education for All Bill that passed in the last legislative session. Such a critically important piece of legislation, and is going to really significantly change and improve our ability to sort of tell the true narrative of the history, language, and culture of Minnesota's Dakota and Ojibwe people. Something that is really important for us to get right. My kids are entering their junior year, and they just started school probably about 3 years, they're on their fifth day of school, and I know that they're taking U.S. history this first semester of their junior year, and one of the things I'm waiting to see is how much of the narrative or the work that gets integrated into that classroom focuses correctly around the roles and the true history of Indigenous people, and kind of getting some eyes on that. But it's important, Indigenous history or the Native history is the history of the United States as well, so U.S.
Well, I hope there's a way to enforce it, too, because I know Wisconsin has that on the books, but there's no way that they enforce it that I've heard. And so let's keep our eyes peeled on what happens here. But
I think the bill addresses that, but I think the bigger issue is implementation. How do we make sure that all of those, it's something like 20,000, 30,000 teachers in the state have to be trained in that information. So
Yeah. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic, and we're just having our fireside chat here as usual and just a kickback here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. is close to a deal to bring home five Americans being held in Iran in exchange for unfreezing $6 billion Iranian dollars. CBS's Margaret Brennan.
Any thaw in relations is significant, given the recent U.S. military buildup in the region and ongoing concerns about Iran's activities throughout the Middle East.
Frustrating times for people watching rescue efforts after the Moroccan earthquake. This man is heard through an interpreter.
The cliff fell on them. The people are still under the rubble, and no one can remove the stones, and the authorities haven't sent the equipment to remove them, as they haven't done so for 3 days. You can smell the corpses everywhere.
10 days after he got dangerously ill 3,000 feet underground, American cave explorer Mark Dickey is safe and in a Turkish hospital.
It is amazing to be above ground again. I was underground for far longer than ever expected with an unexpected medical issue.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how belonging begins with
for those.
Right. And then we're going to pick a different caller each time. So that's going to be really cool. Again, we're doing it like Dr. Stately's favorite station there. We're giving away stuff here. And next thing, next week, I'll be giving away this painting over here in my office.
make sure you dust it off before you give it away.
That's right. Exactly. So here we're here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic. And Dr. Stately, I was in New York, and now you lived in California for a long time. I want to kind of ask you something about this. So I was in New York, and I was at the Museum of Natural Art or whatever it's called, MoMA or whatever, and I didn't see any Native American art. I did see sections where the African American had like a whole room, and there were certain photographs and things like that in a different era. I think it was the 40s or 50s. So that I don't know if it's because New York was colonized one of the first, the East Coast there, but it seems like we're not around anywhere. I know there's a museum, a really nice museum, a Native American museum, down by Battery Park, but it seems like it's few and far between, and we're lucky to live here in Minnesota and have things like these laws and politicians things like that to look up to and look forward to, and it seems like it's a desert out there out east. It looks like Dr. Stately froze.
Prior Lake, where they have the worst internet service on the planet, perhaps, I guess. Which is ironic, considering that it's a very wealthy community, but I guess all their wealth goes into, I don't know, something other than the internet. just kidding. I'm salty about it. There's only two local internet companies. None of them pay.
What did you think
of? I think that has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, I think, you know, there was, I mean, I think that across the spectrum in the United States, I think, writ large, there has been an active effort to erase Native voice and history and presence across all kinds of enterprises, including the industry of art and museums and such. You know, it's like a lot of places won't do it unless they have a quote-unquote large population near and around their museum that has an interest in indigenous or Native art, so that means things like, nearby reservations or, I think you probably have a lot of that maybe in Oklahoma, right, where there's a lot of tribes that were relocated nearby, those kinds of things. But I think Minnesota is unique in a lot of ways. Like we have, think about how unique we are. Is we have 11 tribal nations in the state. We have, it is the birthplace of a lot of, sort of grassroots kinds of organizations that have done a lot to change, the visibility and the narrative and the understanding of Native people in terms of their rights, their humanity, their history, all those things. A lot of that stuff took place here in Minnesota. Minnesota is the birthplace of things like American Indian Movement there, and the birthplace of Indian education. Minnesota Indian Education Association is actually older than the National Indian Education Association. I think NIEA structured their convention around MIEA. we were the birthplace of Indian health, all kinds of things. And we have a rich, rich history of resistance here, and we have a rich, rich history of, lifting up the and doing the work of lifting up the voices and the understanding of our community and all of our needs and the things that are important in our community. We're an active bunch, right? We're a state in a state of activists. And so, I think it has a lot to do with like how, good communities are in being able to coalesce power and build coalition building and leverage that into sort of having an active presence in the larger society. Unfortunately, a lot of places don't sort of just actively independently do those things without sort of having, you know, folks from their community say, hey, here's a story, or here's a part of this of the community that you're missing some voice and some information on. So.
Yeah.
What, I live in Los Angeles. I didn't really see a whole lot either. Like, there were a couple places, but there wasn't a big presence, which was interesting considering that Los Angeles is considered one of the largest populations of Native people, but it's 4,000 square miles and they're dispersed all over the place.
Well, and there's 8 million people in the city too. So there are places, again, like talked about the museum, and there's a place on that I was trying to find that it was hard to find because it's up in a building and it's stuff's kind of hidden there too. I mean, in the city, as you know, it's like you go upstairs and you go, oh my God, this is a beautiful restaurant here. You would have never known on the street.
Yep. Yeah, when I lived in Los Angeles, the Gene Autry Museum was pretty well known for doing things like performance art and a few other things. They had a lot of plays that would happen there and other kinds of performance things happen. So, and there are other places in Los Angeles, in and around Los Angeles County and the various areas, San Diego as well. There's a very, I think there's a strong sort of indigenous, artistic presence in San Francisco and Oakland, particularly.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely. It was just, I don't know, it was just kind of weird for me because I'm so used to, driving to the powwow grounds or seeing you or seeing somebody on the street. And then you still see people that look Native and you're not sure. And, you know, they got the braids and everything. And you try to give them a hoo and they don't hear you because you're in a noisy city and it smells like weed everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Like the Lauryn Hill concert, actually. I think is really unique is like we do have such a rich opportunity to sort of be seen all over and see ourselves reflected in a lot of places. And even with that being true here in Minnesota, and particularly in the Twin Cities, that isn't really actually all that abundant outside of the Twin Cities. There's some places and spaces in the state where it's still probably a lot like living in the middle of nowhere where you don't see an Indian and anything reflected outside of gun billboards and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we got the Marlena Miles bus that's always driving around the Twin Cities, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is. So we're totally blessed here in the Twin Cities, and I know in Wisconsin we're all over too. There's 11 tribes there, and it's also a lot of things happening in Native wise, especially it's interesting too, because I really didn't realize, and I think you might've told me that the high percentage of Native Americans that live off a reservation, something like 70 or 65%. And so the inner cities happen in a lot of different ways where the rural area is still populated by not only our Native reservations, but also people that don't like Native people that live amongst us. So there's that too.
Yeah, I think one of the things I think that's one of the reasons why I think this the bill or education for all, Native education for all, or Indigenous education for all, is really an important thing. It's like, people don't know, this generation of individuals growing up at this point in time, and both inner city Minnesota and then out in the rural areas, like how else can we help them to understand who we are as Indigenous people and get to understand who we are as real humans, not something that lived centuries ago in a textbook or in John Wayne movies, but something that lives today, contemporaneously, right here next door to you, and what we look like and how we live and what are our values and those kinds of things. Those are really important things for them to begin to understand, because we're right here, right next to them. every day. So.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, even just a spit's throw away from me, there's another Winnebago that lives right up the street for where I'm at. And somebody delivered me a Ho-Chunk magazine accidentally that lived a couple blocks from me that I had no idea. And so there's a small percentage, but we're loud and proud. And I'm blessed to be here in Minnesota and see all these great things. You know, your clinic and how Franklin Avenue and just being Ho-Chunk and all the other Prairie Island, you know, all these powerful tribes that are doing good for their people.
Yes, there's a lot that goes on in the state of Minnesota that a lot of people don't know about. Like, I think probably a lot of people don't know that the 11 tribes, I think, are the 14th largest employer in the United, in the state of Minnesota. We contribute greatly to the economic well-being of the state, right?
Yeah. Well, Dr. Stately, thank you so much for being on. It's always great having this great conversation with you. We'll be reaching out to you, Haley and I, about another project here this week. We're excited to get that rolling, too. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic.
Stay with us.
All right. Up next, Wendy.
Be a vaccinative. It's time to come together and talk about the urgent need to stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations to protect our heritage, our loved ones, and our future. Throughout history, we have always faced challenges, and today we must protect our culture and loved ones. This is our opportunity to ensure that our tribal gatherings once again resound with joy and celebration, where the echoes of our ancestors guide our steps. It's a chance to care for our elders, cherishing their wisdom and stories for generations to come. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Let us unite, resilient as ever, and show the world the strength of the Native American community. Together, we shape a future where our traditions thrive, our children learn from our ancestors, and our people flourish once more. So be a vaccinative and learn more about staying up to date with your COVID vaccinations at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
The place for autumn fun is the Park Tavern. Live music is taking over the Park Tavern's dog-friendly patio this fall. Head over on Tuesday, September 12th for the American Bootleg. Wednesday, September 13th, it's Three Dragons. And on Thursday, September 14th, it's the wonderful Katie Testman. Music runs from 5:30 to 8 p.m. and reservations for groups of 8 or more are recommended. And the Park Tavern offers private and semi-private spaces for small and large groups with no room fees and no minimum spending requirements. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, autumn fun is waiting for you at the Park Tavern.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Howl! Oh, Dr. Stately brought Dr. Stately back for a howl. Hey,
such a sad howl.
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome, beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has a sacred animal update. Let's take a listen.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. Today I'm going to be talking about the dogs who helped with the 9/11 rescue mission. Today we're recognizing the 22nd year anniversary of the terrorist attack.
Volunteer firefighters, police officers, and rescue workers from around the world rushed to aid of New York City and Washington, D.C. in the days following the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. Among these heroes were some of the four-legged variety, dog heroes, Riley. Iconic photos of Riley being transported alone through the on-site debris have been shared thousands of times since 2001. This search and rescue golden retriever was formerly trained to locate survivors of the attacks, desperately searching the World Trade Center as part of FEMA's Pennsylvania Task Force One. His image is a beacon of hope at Ground Zero, brought motivation and comfort to the firefighters and police officers tirelessly working through the tragedy. Riley provided his owner, Chris Selfridge, and his nation with over 13 years of love and support. Riley's passing in 2010 helped inspire a study of the long-term effects that rigorous search and rescue work have had on canine health. You could Google Riley 9/11 dog and look at the iconic photos of Riley being transported alone through the on-site of that debris. It's pretty breathtaking, actually. And we're going to talk about Apollo. Apollo, a German Shepherd, Apollo graduated from the New York Police Department Canine Special Operations Division when he was only 2 years old. He was one of New York City's top dogs throughout the 1990s and worked with the first New York Police Department Canine Urban Search and Rescue Team. Apollo and his handler, Peter Davis, were the first canine search and rescue team to answer the call on September 11th, arriving at the South Tower just 15 minutes after its collapse. From that moment on, Apollo looked for survivors 18 hours a day for weeks on end. His search and rescue work earned him one of the first AKC Humane Fund Awards for Canine Excellence in 2001, as well as the Dickin Medal on behalf of all Patriot Day search and rescue dogs, awarded for tireless courage in the service of humanity during the search and rescue operations in New York and Washington on and after September 11th, 2001. Sage was a two-year-old when search and rescue border collie and her handler, Diane Wetzel, worked at the Pentagon after the 9/11 attacks. With the highest level of recognition from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, Sage was one of the nation's top 50 dogs in the search and rescue field. She and her handler continued their careers in SAR by rescuing animals stranded by Hurricane Rita and Hurricane Katrina before their deployment to Iraq in 2007. Once retired, Sage became a part of the 9/11 search and rescue dog study done by the University of Pennsylvania, funded by the AKC Canine Health Foundation. She was also honored with the 2009 Search and Rescue Award for Canine Excellence before crossing the Rainbow Bridge in 2012 at the age of 13. Brittany was known as the last living search and rescue dog to have worked at Ground Zero. Brittany and her owner-handler, Denise Corliss, worked 12-hour shifts on rescue and recovery for 10 days straight after the attacks on September 11th. This golden retriever's career training began at just 8 weeks old, making her a lifelong veteran of rescue missions, including Hurricanes Katrina, Rita, and Ivan. After her retirement from the workforce at age 9, Brittany took her talents to a local elementary school where she helped first graders as a reading assistance dog for her remaining years. Brittany crossed the Rainbow Bridge with her owners by her side at the age of 16 in Texas, where she was saluted by representatives from the armed forces and local fire departments. Tracker. Tracker was a German shepherd who answered the call for action that fateful day with his Canadian police officer and handler, James Symington. The duo is credited with finding the last remaining survivor from the World Trade Center after she had been trapped for 26 hours. Time awarded Tracker with the sixth spot on their published list of top 10 heroic animals. 7 years later, Symington entered Tracker in a BioArts International contest where the winner's DNA would be cloned. Tracker had what it took as an exceptional canine specimen and was cloned five times before his passing in 2009 at the age of 14. The Tracker puppy clones, Trust, Solace, Valor, Prodigy, and Deja Vu, are continuing Tracker's legacy and all started their training as search and rescue dogs in 2011. Within hours of the 9/11 attacks, thousands of rescue workers from across America deployed to Ground Zero to help. Joining the endeavor were an estimated 300 specially trained dogs with experience not only in search and rescue, but police work, therapy, and comfort provisions. Search and rescue dogs, like we said before, SAR or SAR, specialize in disaster response skills. Trained to detect the scent of living humans, their mission was to find survivors buried in the rubble. One of the dogs found the last living person rescued from Ground Zero 27 hours after the collapse of the towers. As the day went on, rescue and recovery workers realized the chance of finding survivors was increasingly slim, and the operation turned its focus to recovery. Cadaver dogs trained to find human remains were also on the scene. Alongside their handlers, the four-legged heroes worked tirelessly climbing huge piles of debris while fires still smoldered. The search for signs of life or human remains was mentally and physically taxing on the dogs, who became discouraged and started losing their drive to continue. Recognizing the importance of motivation among the dog handlers would stage a mock find so the animals would feel successful. So this is a wonderful way for the dogs to keep motivated and keep them going so they wouldn't be depressed. I just want to thank everybody out there who were part of the rescue teams. I know some people really suffer from PTSD from this awful, horrible terrorist attack. And we just want to recognize and just bow our heads and give a moment of silence and recognize all the people who lost their lives and the families that were affected by this tragedy. Back to you, Robert. Back to you, Haley. Thank you to all the two-legged rescue workers and the four-legged rescue workers.
Thank you so much, Wendy. And thank you so much, Dr. Stately of NAC. You have been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. The American dream is a dream for a reason. You have to be asleep to believe it. Wake up with us. We are still here. We are the seventh generation. And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Outfront Minnesota is the state's largest LGBTQ+ advocacy organization, and they're celebrating our state's accomplishments protecting our LGBTQ+ neighbors. This is especially important as surrounding states are passing legislation targeting our trans community. But here in Minnesota, we made it clear, you belong here. Minnesota's LGBTQ+ rights have taken a significant step forward with the conversion therapy ban and the Trans Refuge Bill, helping reshape the national discourse. The trailblazers who once championed same-sex marriage a decade ago continue propelling Minnesota towards an even brighter future. To celebrate these accomplishments, Outfront Minnesota is hosting their annual gala, where we bring in together more than 700 guests at Allianz Field on Thursday, September 14th. The event celebrates a year of legislative wins while honoring diverse communities propelling Minnesota forward into next year. Again, that's Thursday, September 14th at Allianz Field with a dinner at 6 and party at 8. So come celebrate Minnesota's progress on LGBT.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.